This is Neon Culture with Elise Osborne.
Hey, Coop. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Cool. So everyone else, welcome to Neon Cauldron. I am Elise Osborne, and this is Coop Teflon.
Hi.
So right now, Coop's hanging out at the Cunning Crow Apothecary in Seattle. And Coop is a high priestess there doing different healings and readings. She's also a queer artist and ritual performer and a mother of two. But the reason why I've asked her on today is because she makes these hand-painted, hand-sewn dolls. And they're really different. They're really artistic. They have a special touch to them. And I'm curious to know if they're what their magical properties are.
Yeah, I've been making them for about 15 years, and I really started out by making cute little monsters and stuff because I had little kids, and I was making them. I was a stay-at-home mom, and they developed quickly into like portrait dolls. So I started making dolls of some of my favorite performers, like Keith Morris of Circle Jerks, Alice Bag, Exene, Mary, Diana Cancer from 45 Grave were some of the first people I made dolls of, and I would gift it to them. And they've evolved over time to where I also make special collections of stories that I'm told through spirits and through places that I've been, and I'll collect items from those places that I've been. Like, for example, right now I'm working on a collection. I make a lot of swamp witches. I feel really connected to like the femme energy that is kind of ostracized by community, and they live out on their own in the middle of nowhere, be it the desert, be it the swamp, be it wherever, or the woods. And they are able to be themselves and do their practice. So a lot of the dolls I've been making currently the last few years revolve around the swamps. So I've collected apple snail shells, which are fairly large, that you find in the swamps, and they're not indigenous to there. They've migrated there through storms, and they're actually detrimental to the swamps. But I'm creating a collection of snail shell sisters that are these swamp witches that live out on their own. And so I'll be incorporating things that I find out in the swamp area. And, I do put my different oils to call in whatever I'm trying to with each piece, so that the thread even has like the oils that are intentional for these pieces. I put eucalyptus nuts in all of my dolls, and I have since about 2010. And these eucalyptus nuts were planted by a woman named Mary Ellen Pleasant in San Francisco in the 1870s. And I started putting them in my dolls to charge them with her amazing energy, but also to tell her story over and over, because it seems she's been a little bit more in the spotlight lately, or publicly talked about. But when I first started collecting these and putting them in the dolls, like, anyone I talked to did not know anything about her. And that blew my mind, because she was this woman
I don't know anything really about her, and it's great.
Yeah. So, she was born, her mother was a slave, and her father was the governor of Ohio's son. And so when she was a child, she witnessed her mother be murdered in front of her because they accused her of being a voodoo priestess. And she was purchased by a family, and they purchased her, and they had her live in the house, and they sent her to school and educated her. And she actually could pass for white. So she was able to do a lot of work for the community that would not normally be able to be done. She ended up marrying into money, and her husband passed a few years after they were married, and she inherited something like $31 million in like the 1860s, 70s, which obviously even this to this time would be a lot of money. And she was part of the Underground Railroad. Yeah. And so what she would do is she would dress like a man. She was 6'1". She was very tall. And she would ride ahead of everybody and make sure the coast was clear so they could get to their next destinations. And she ended up in New Orleans. And she married Marie Laveau's cousin. And she consulted with Marie Laveau a lot. And she was really feeling pulled about going to the West, to San Francisco.
Hey. So we got cut off, and we got cut off while you were telling us where she's called to go to the West.
Okay, yeah, so she's called to go to the West, to San Francisco, and she begins consulting with Marie Laveau to see if that would be a good decision, and Marie helps her in how to work that system and the things flowing that need to flow, because what Marilyn Pleasant wanted to do was have people come through that and pay for their freedom and then give them money to start their own businesses. And so if anybody wanted to fight on that, she'd already have them over for dinner and party and with her girls. And she can kind of go, well, you know, you were at the party and you were hanging out with so-and-so, and I'm sure your wife wouldn't want to know that. So she was able to help a lot of people start their own businesses there, people of color. And so this is what she did for many years. And she planted some trees around her home, and they were eucalyptus trees. And that's where I get the nuts from. They're still there. Of course, when anyone is doing anything, the wives get jealous. And so what happened was they made a lot of newspaper articles about her, that she was boiling babies and that she was doing all this stuff because she was dark and evil. And so her house ended up getting burnt down, and oh, she lost most of her fortune and her things, but the trees are still there. They're on Octavia Street. So when I heard this story, I collected some of the nuts. This was like in 2010, and I was like, oh, I'll make a few dolls, and like then I'll be able to tell her story. But I've put them in every single doll since 2010, and I've made, you know, definitely hundreds of dolls since then. So,
I was going to be presumptuous and say that that's like infused with, you know, the tree is a symbol of branching out, its origins, how we're all connected, how everything that we do is connected to all other people. But also I think what you're doing, this doll making is a different kind of magic possibly. And for you, the symbol of putting the nut in each one of the dolls, it sounds like it's to keep her story going, but also there must be some other symbols. Is that like the heart of the doll, or is it a protective
thing? No, that's the base of the doll. And like for so many important people throughout history, their stories aren't written or taught. And so for me, like telling her story is super important. She also actually, I forgot to mention, when she moved to San Francisco, they told her she couldn't ride on the cable car. So she fought the city of San Francisco, and she won to have access to be able to ride on the streetcars as a person of color. So she was like very vocal politically, spiritually. And that's, of course, why, you know, the people that wanted to bring her down, like wrote these articles about her that were detrimental to what she was doing. Which is the story throughout history, right? Any strong vocal woman is always going to be bashed or, you know, taken for a ride on this type of thing. So,
no, totally. I feel like that's universally true for anyone who's rocking the boat, no matter what their station or, you know, gender, creed, race is. But it is, of course, as we can, almost all of us can agree, women of color, especially of the earlier years, had that extra brutal hammer brought down on them. And I think that just speaks more volumes to her strength of character.
Right. And when anything like, I mean, like the West Memphis Three is a really good example of that, where like the Satanic Panic came in. So nobody even stops to go, okay, this is really crazy, and this is like out of line. Like that panic comes in. It's always happened, especially through witchcraft and all that, as we know, like, oh, she's boiling babies. And it's like,
and we're back after the second, hopefully this is third time's the charm. So before, if we have a limited time here before the call drops again, I have a couple questions. So I'm listing them in letter A. What's the difference between and a voodoo doll? And also, these are artifacts that I think that are definitely in pop culture that everyone associates with witchcraft and usually associated with doing harm to others. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, the funny thing is like voodoo dolls were originally created to help people that were healers know which part of the body is the person that came to them for help with last time. Like say their foot was hurting, so they gave them some, you know, ointments and stuff to help their foot pain. They would put a pin in the foot. And then the next time the person came, they were like, I can't get rid of my headaches. So they would get pins in their head. And that it was more of like a healing tool so that you knew what the person that you were helping came in for the last time when you saw them, because you would see so many people you might forget. A puppet is...
Okay, so not like... I'm putting this pin in your foot and it's going to hurt or help
Hollywood.
Your foot.
It's Hollywood has like, done that. Yeah.
It's more like
Hollywood's done that. I feel Western civilization has done that on so many levels. You know, anything that's not something that's familiar with them is evil. So voodoo dolls have gotten a bad rap in that way, you know, and they are definitely were healing, basically like a chart, your personal chart of what had been ailing you so that the person healing you could keep track of that. So the difference between a voodoo doll and a puppet's created for as a vessel for a spirit, and a lot of times they're for ancestors mostly, but they can be for whatever the creator's intending them for. You know, there's dark and there's light, there's people that have ill will, there's people that want healing and blessings. So whoever's creating it is in charge of what the intention of that is.
Cool. So, okay, I'm having like a little stutter out. Sorry, I got to recollect myself. All right. So I think that this is something that has always made people uneasy about women or magic or whatever is, most of the world we live in has a lot of default settings. And when you're like, I'm taking it off road and I'm going to invent a system of doing something, I'm going to invent a system of creating something which has different intention and different purposes. I think that makes people uneasy because there's not one, as I said, default setting for the use of this object. And I think it just, you know, we don't have always the most capacity to take on new information. So we're like, that's not really what my world's about. I'm just going to lump that over there with all that shit. So that being said, we're entering a gray zone when we're talking about dolls that have the evocation properties of like being a vessel or a channel for specific spirits or energies. Because some people would say good or bad, that's still a vessel that shouldn't be messed with. But that also might be an extension of what I was saying before, where maybe that's being interpreted improperly. So how would you explain that to someone who didn't understand what that meant?
Well, depending on the person, because some people just don't want to hear it. And so you're not going to get through to them anyways. But like with the puppet class that I offer for people to come in and create a puppet of an ancestor or mentor, it's as a healing tool and a place of, it's an like an altar is a meeting place for you and the dead. It's the in-between. So that's why if you have an altar, you need to feed it. You need to tend to it. It's not something you just build and then leave alone. It's a little meeting place, a thank you place. And that's how a puppet can be used also. And some people you're just not going to get through. They're going to say that that's just not right. And you know, that's their opinion and that's okay to me. It's like all intention. I mean, that's what magic is intention. Like if you believe and want something bad enough and you put your intentions and your energy into it and the time, you know, you're going to make that happen, but you got to put the hard work behind it too. And I see that commonly because I do a lot of spiritual mentoring where, you know, someone's bought a hat that's witchy and then all of a sudden they're saying they're a witch and they built a little altar, and they've got Grandma and Baphomet on there, which would be fine if Grandma worked with Baphomet, but no, you know, it's like, that's dangerous. Like, it's just not a safe way and healthy way to have your spiritual practice. I don't, even if you're working with demons, you've got to have the right knowledge. So it's like working with elders, working with other practitioners that maybe have been doing this a little longer than you or more knowledgeable, so that you can learn the right and the wrong way, and you do it the way you want. Because that's what spirit work is. It's really your intuition. It's your ancestors speaking through you. And, you know, with the...
Yeah, I think that also what you're saying about people haphazardly working with demons, quote unquote, I'm like, that...
And the what?
Like, I'm sorry. Like, you... like, what are you doing? It's just, I think that's ill-advised for people who are just on their Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram account, and they're like, oh, I'm going to do this. This is fine. But also, this is another thing I strongly feel. We're incarnated in this strange life where we forgot all of our purposes, all of our connections, that we have, you know, an extension beyond this mortal coil. We're here to kind of like fuck shit up a little bit just so we can keep exploring. I'm a little bit coddling. Right. Sometimes I feel like a little bit like I want everyone to be okay. But also I feel like I do a lot human. Of really stupid shit all the time.
And you know, we're all human and so, we're all learning. Like, I don't care if you're a guru, you're still learning. Like, does, you know, nobody knows all of it. But yeah, I mean, intentions are everything. So if you like are intending to really make this happen, and you're doing it for the grandmothers, and it's a place for you to come talk to the grandmothers and feel like there's a physical object, because they're there spiritually and energetically, but having this physical item as like an in-between is great, you know, and healing. And some people don't understand that, and that's just what it is, you know, like that scares them. And that's because I feel a lot of like Western culture has instilled fear with anything involved with like ATR or witchcraft or anything. And I mean, look at our, you know.
That's true. And then also, like you were saying originally, these dolls are made for your own children. And that's another part of doll making, I think, is the, probably one of the first things people think of is, you know, like the children and playing. And the thing about children is they are in many ways, they are filled with possibilities. They can decide to be, right, go any sort of way. They have like nothing but possibilities, and play is an extension of that. And it's like the foundation of all the neural pathways, everything else is built on. So I think that, there's two ways to look at adults with dolls. One is like arrested development. They're not going further. They're stuck in the past, which could be, but also something about being creative and in reengaging and still having the spirit of play at any point in life also keeps you being able to see things in the abstract and keeps helping your brain sort of see new possibilities and make
and I think for me, like a medium and a channeler, like so making these dolls that I do, like I'm able to tell those stories in a physical way that people that have been forgotten or not seen, because like a lot of the dolls that I create that aren't specifically a portrait doll of a person that someone's, you know, like physically I see a picture of, I feel like especially with the Swamp Witches and any of the Southern collections that I've done are these stories that are told to me through the people that are past, and their stories are forgotten, and this is a way to keep the story going, which is also what I present in the ancestor workshop classes that I do. And like we build a puppet, and that puppet is going to tell the story and continue the story of your personal experience with that person, right? So like their story is not forgotten. It's like, oh, this was my great grandmother's doll and she made it for her mom that da da da, you know, so that story keeps getting told. Because that's what happens so much is like stories get forgotten over time because there's not an object there to remind you. So,
No, completely. Yeah. I think that's really interesting. And also when it's like a anything that's more personified is stuff that it just brings it down to there's less extending ourselves into trying to stretch out and be like, what does this mean? And I think creating something in our own form is probably the easiest way for us to understand it in the subconscious, which is sort of the root of any understanding. I'm also curious of what you think about puppets or voodoo dolls in terms of like Hollywood movies, like Child's Play, Puppet Master, any sort of there's hundreds of movies about the
I'm fine
scary
with that because
doll,
I
like
like
that's
to
a
have fun
trope.
too. So
And
like
how
those
do
are
you feel
fun.
about that?
But I mean, that's a lot of what's instilled fear in people also, right? Is that like some people only associate dolls with Chucky. And I feel right. And so what
I
happens
think
though
Chucky's
is the
hilarious,
same thing that happened with
but
voodoo in the 20s when like they started making movies where everyone that does voodoo is evil and voodoo is a religion, and people don't even know the difference between voodoo and hoodoo. Hoodoo is a practice. So like I think education on every level is important. And like if you really fear it and you don't want to hear like the base of where it started or what it is, then keep moving basically. I'm not here to like try to convert anybody or anything like that. My dolls, like my dolls are funny. Like sometimes I'll make a
Oh no,
collection and they sell
totally.
immediately. But sometimes I'll have a doll for 2 or 3 years and it's like the right home. It has to go to the right home. So like I never rush it or freak out. Like I've had this doll for a year and it hasn't sold. It's because these dolls go to the right home. And I'm making art dolls that are spirit dolls. So there's like a fine line between on there too,
So an extension of the Hollywood
It's okay.
doll collection, sorry, but I just threw in the word collection. I don't know if that's really applicable, but okay. So, that haunted doll, I forgot what it's called. They're made a bunch of movies, and in the movies they made it like this huge porcelain doll, but it's based on a true account of this really haunted, fucked up doll, which actually in real life was a Raggedy Andy doll.
Oh, for sure. I
And
believe that. Yeah, there's like
apparently it was like actually possessed. And how does something like that
Right, I'm sorry to
happen
cut you
for like
off.
an
Yeah,
evil
it's a
entity
vessel. It's
to
a place for the
actually
spirit to
embody a
land.
doll?
So that's why they keep it in the cabinet locked up now because it's made a home in that vessel. A lot of spirits roam freely, but sometimes they get a little bored and they're like, hey, I'm going to jump in on there. And the story with that is like the two girls that were appeasing it, like, oh, cute, the doll, like, it responds to us, like, and it took advantage. And so that's where it gets tricky with like different spirits and entities and practices is like being knowledgeable. Like, before you do a blessing or a curse, you're going to protect yourself and do a post, spell curse protection for yourself. So like it's just about being knowledgeable. Like, yeah, you don't encourage a doll and a spirit to like do things because it's just going to make it stronger. So, I feel all of my dolls have spirits, but like I have specific spirits in them. They're designated to there with their story. So like it's just like anything else in the world. Like I'm a healer and like I'm here to help you like open the roads for your world and like help you get past trauma and stuff where it's a fine line between almost counselor, but that doesn't mean like I'm not going to help you in other ways. Like I feel like there can't be one without the other. Like I'm a child of Hecate and she's the protector of outcasts. She's the mother of the crossroads. She holds the keys and all that. And like, it's not just all love and light, like there are dark entities, they're real. And like an important part of my practice is I do depossessions and,
I'm curious about this because I have a similar, I don't really advertise it, but I do have a similar part of my practice if it comes up.
Yeah, like through my initiation to
what
do those
happens
with others, like it's not something you just do. Like, you know, I make sure like what medications they're on, what kind of trauma they have. And I, after we go through the process of that, like I was initiated about a year and a half ago for that to work with others. And I've probably done three or four, and I see up to 15 people a week. So it's not something I do commonly. I look for things and ways that people are talking about themselves and others. You know, and the belief behind that with the person I learned through is that, you know, these spirits and entities will jump in, and so many people get fear when they hear depossession. They're like, what? And I, at the beginning, didn't put it on my business cards, but I'm like, no, this is what I do, and it's real. So, you know, and I'm going to help you with that if you're ready. And a lot of people are scared to get rid of like spirits and entities that are on there because they could become part of them. And then they're going to lose a piece of themselves. It's kind of hard to play.
Well, it's like a codependent.
Sure, yeah. So
it can be a codependent experience. Well, also like the devil card in tarot, it reminds me of just like being sort of just being in an illusion where you feel that you need to rely on a certain
right, and sometimes you realize it, you know, that they
and
have
you kind
this.
Of forget your own
so.
Power. And I think that. Yeah, so I think that what you're saying about just making sure you're constantly protecting yourself and being particular about the intentions you're putting into the things around you is always super important.
Yeah.
And just to keep, I think, a spiritual hygiene, you know. So in the same way that like washing your body and cleaning out your mouth and eating properly and cleaning your home keeps you from getting sick, like also your thoughts and intentions and the kind of
right. And so and like part of what I also offer for people is I help with ancestor shadows and unraveling family karma. So there's things that are passed down too that where maybe your great grandmother's it's an experience that she had and it's been passed down and it hasn't even happened to you. So I help people figure out what that is and hand it back to the great grandmother and be like, I don't want this, you know, like whatever it may be. So a lot of times things are just passed down too. And like some depossessions I've done, the spirit and the person doesn't even realize they're, you know, in each other. And so figuring that out sometimes can be interesting, you know, and helping that spirit cross over. I do compassionate depossessions to where I who the spirit is, I'm going to figure out what their needs are so that I can help them cross over. Like, you know, I had a, one of the first ones I did was a trans man that was stuck in a housewife's body from the 50s and then passed on to this other person and was wanting beefcakes and penises and scotch. So I was like, yeah, those are all good things. Like, let's come on over here and like, you can have all you want of that. And then the next person I did was an elderly black woman from the South that was super religious. So it was completely opposite. So I had to find what she needed to pass over, which was of course Jesus and all that. So like, you just never know like what is going to come up. And then you got to be compassionate to help that spirit pass.
Coop, I think you've probably piqued a lot of interest in everything you just said. And there's probably so many questions that people have right now. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you,
yes, cooptoughone.com. I also have like an Etsy shop. That's cooptoughone. I have a Facebook page with a bunch of like reviews from clients and people that I've helped and worked with on Facebook. It's Cook Teflon. I think it's Spiritual Readings and Beyond. But if you just put in Cook Teflon, you should be able to find it.
Cool. And then I'll also, you know, I'm probably going to definitely post this on Instagram so people can link to your Instagram page. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for talking about history, your practice. The experience of doll making, and also you've brought up a lot of really important PSAs like practice spiritual health, because you could really get seriously sick if you don't
Thank you for having me. So and dolls, dolls, dolls.
And, thank you for listening.
To make, like, what I do is I get commissioned to make dolls of
dolls.
Anything from, like, your favorite icon, or, like, a lot of people have you make dolls of them, or, you know, pets that have passed. I mean, you could put your ashes in there. And so I do.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And they're all handmade with this, like, magical touch.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Till next time.